Hello there, good afternoon. Knives, makeshift weapons and bolt cutters, just some of the items Kent police say they've found
Kent
near the so-called Camp for Climate Change.
Kent police say they've drafted in 700 officers and have £1 million budget with which they're determined to stop activists closing down King's
Stand
North
off,
Power
police
Station.
Police and protesters watch and wait, getting ready for a massive march against a replacement
police
power station.
Police in riot gear have used batons and pepper spray on campaigners who are gathering outside King's North
Six
Power Station.
Six arrested as riot police clash with protesters at the King's North Climate Camp. One MP condemns police tactics as aggressive.
Welcome to the Climate Camp Media Review. It's me from Rise Up Radio in Nottingham, and in this new feature for Climate Camp Radio, I'll be bringing you lies, spin and populist crap from the public airways in the Daily Digest. Now, in all seriousness, we'll be giving you some bits and bobs to listen to from the coverage the camp has been getting in the mainstream media. We'll start off with a report by Meridian TV on the 1st of August, just after the first police raid on the camp. Not speaking with anyone from the camp, but instead with the police, this report puts the emphasis on the camp's supposed criminal intentions.
A protest camp set up at the King's North Power Station in Kent by eco-activists has been raided by police. The Camp for Climate Action Group is demonstrating against plans to build a new coal-fired power station at the site near Hoo. Officers say they're disappointed that items from the group show protesters were intent on breaking the law. Two people have been arrested and charged with obstruction. David Glencourse reports.
This was the camp yesterday. Around 60 of the main organisers already in and planning their assault on the giant power station. We weren't allowed onto the site and had to take pictures from behind a fence. Shortly after we left, the police moved in and seized several items including bolt croppers, padded suits, climbing ropes and super glue. The police said today it was obvious that some of the protesters were intent on criminal action.
It was a worrying development. We carried out two arrests. Two people have been charged and are now prohibited from returning to the Isle of Grain until their next court appearance, which is after the protest is due to finish.
The protesters have never shied from making their intentions abundantly clear. They've threatened time and time again to shut down the power station by what they call direct action. We had exclusive access to the power station yesterday, and there was speculation today that the protesters plan to use the bolt cutters and padded suits in an assault on the razor wire fence around the perimeter. The eco-activists are also saying they'll attack the station by sea from the Medway in boats. But today the police called this plain stupid.
If there is a flotilla planned to come in, there is a high chance that somebody could get seriously hurt or killed.
So the battle lines are drawn, 700 police officers and E.ON's own security team preparing to repel the planned mass action. The police operation will cost well over £1 million. David Glencross at King's North for Meridian News.
And here is a BBC Southeast news item from the same day.
You got any articles which may cause criminal damage with us? Okay.
Stop and search powers are now in place. Everyone coming and going is under police surveillance. These measures have been put in place after two campaigners were charged with obstruction, and equipment which the police believe could be used unlawfully was seized from the camp.
Yesterday we applied for and obtained a search warrant to search the site. The amount of material that we recovered had to be recovered in a lorry. There was that much. You know, things such as super glue, large quantities of super glue, bolt croppers, items for which protesters would use to actually chain themselves to railings.
The police have been planning this for months, and a makeshift police village and roadblocks have suddenly appeared in the area. The police presence is unmissable, and local residents can't believe the scale of the operation.
Wherever you drive, there's police up there, roadblocks, roads closed, everything like that.
I don't think they'll have much chance of breaking into the power station.
Why is that?
Because of the security.
And that's not just down to the police. E.ON, the owners of the power station, have built a second inner security fence with razor wire, ensuring there's now two lines of defence.
Right, so that was at the start of the camp. Similar to reports of the taking of the side, really. Pretty neutral reporting with a bit too much airtime given to the police PR. Well, then come the 3rd of August, the day of the march. Various little bits in national newspapers, some with photos, but nothing too worthwhile mentioning especially. One thing did jump out, a short piece on BBC Radio Kent, which is a prime example of some appalling journalism. How about we talk to some of the protesters and ask them some really random technical questions in a bid to undermine their credibility? Listen to this from the early morning John Warnett show.
The camp is in protest at plans to build a new coal-fired power station, which campaigners say will add to global warming and blow a hole in Britain's green credentials. That's why they are there. But do they know why they are there? Our reporter Simon Longprice thought he'd asked that very question, and he joins me now. Simon, I thought it was pretty clear why these protesters are where they are.
Well, it is to a degree, as you described just above. They don't like coal-fired power stations because of climate change concerns, and they want renewable energy. But I wondered if they knew what they were actually asking for. I mean, specifically, like, whether they knew just how much energy the country needs and how that squares up with what's on offer. So I asked a number of people five questions in all, with a couple of supplementaries, and my interviewees ranged from campaigners who are local residents to event organisers. Now, the interview we're about to hear with a Kent Greenpeace member is absolutely typical of the replies I received. I asked him first just how much power the country needs on average a day.
Not exactly how much it needs, no.
If I were to say it needs, on average, about 63 gigawatts, does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, indeed, yeah, I can understand that.
How many megawatts is Kings North going to produce?
Is it 2.3? I don't know.
It's 1,600 megawatts.
Is that it, just 1,600?
Do you know what the difference between a megawatt and a gigawatt is?
How many megawatts into a gigawatt, son? Thousands, yeah. So there's only 1,600 megawatts coming from Kings North.
The chap you just heard, really, in all seriousness, was absolutely representative of the answers.
Okay.
They have a feeling of why they should be there, but it's not entirely clear.
They can't nail down the detail.
No.
All right, Simon, thank you very much indeed. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting indeed. Then come Monday the 4th of August. Caroline Lucas, the Green Party MEP, argues in The Guardian that the aggressive policing at this year's climate camp in Kings North has exposed the UK's authorities' contempt for peaceful protest.
Dirty tactics to defend a dirty industry. Caroline Lucas in The Guardian, Monday 4th of August. Sitting in a teepee in the peaceful Kent countryside, surrounded by campaigners from across the UK, mulling over the future of renewable energy and swapping vegan cake recipes, you could be forgiven for temporarily forgetting the outside world and its many woes. Perhaps then, we must also forgive the police at the climate camp in Kings North this week for losing their grip on reality, as the sense of perspective, which should have underpinned their policing strategy for the event, flew straight out of the canvas window. The police, primarily from local Medway Force, but Metropolitan officers also in evidence, have raided the camp twice now, confiscating items that included crayons, disabled access ramps, marker pens, banners, radios for relaying fire and medical emergency information, the nuts and bolts holding toilet cubicles together, and blackboard paint. They have found it necessary to use pepper spray without provocation, and several campers have been arrested and bailed off the site for obstructing increasingly aggressive police officers. Everyone who enters the site is being searched. Police officers are taking anything away that could be used for illegal activity, with efforts being made to strip protesters of such hardcore weapons of choice as bits of carpet, biodegradable soap and toilet paper. In the absence of any serious threat, the police clearly found it necessary to justify their presence with an unprovoked attack on personal hygiene.
Later on the Monday, the police try and come onto the site and eventually do so with lots of them in riot gear, with all the unnecessary intimidation and violence. From what I can see, from then on, there is a slight change in some of the reporting, as, apart from the climate campers, for local people and journalists who are on the scene, it is very apparent that the police tactics are totally out of order. One BBC reporter ran onto the site when the police moved in. Yes, outside of the media hour. And this was broadcasted on BBC Southeast Evening News.
The police have entered through a back gate here. As you can see, they're trying to hold their ground in the middle of a field. The protesters are trying to remove them peacefully from the ground that they're camping on. To many people observing and to people camping on the site, it wasn't clear why the police had taken the action they had. BBC Television, can I ask you a quick question? Why you came onto the field at all?
You can ask me. Whether or not I'm going to answer you is a different question.
Well, I'm asking you, why did you come onto the field?
We've come on straight for the safety of the campers here.
And what was concerning you about their safety?
We had intelligence received that said we needed to come onto the site. So.
And currently now it seems a bit of a standoff. What's going to happen next?
There's no standoff. We're just waiting to confirm what our next actions are and we'll go from there.
For much of the day, most of the camp was peaceful. Many of the protesters didn't get involved in the skirmishes. Arthur Scargill visited the site. The former leader of the National Union of Mine Workers was used to seeing violence on the picket lines during the miners' strike of the 1980s.
Come on, no,
no way.
Listen, no.
No way.
Listen,
no way.
You're blocking the
I think it's regrettable if there are clashes between the police and protesters, demonstrators, because people should have a right to demonstrate and to protest in the 21st century.
Kent Online, a small local media outlet, has been doing pretty good coverage of the camp, running blogs with residents and local activists and providing some TV and radio downloads. This is an interview with Hazel Dawe, chair of the Kent Green Party.
I have had several reports from Kent Green Party members who are at the site of how appalled they are at the way police are behaving towards peaceful demonstrators. This is not acceptable. And I have written to Mike Fuller, Chief Constable of Kent, today, asking that he, as the person in charge of police operations in Kent, ensures that police behaviour is kept within operational guidelines and within acceptable levels.
Do you believe, then, that there is a relationship breakdown, then, between the police and the protesters?
I know that protesters have been negotiating with police before and during the camp. They have attempted to keep a good relationship with the police. I do hope the police will learn lessons from yesterday's violence and that they will coordinate better with the members of the camp who are trying to keep this under control and that the police will avoid violence in future.
I mean, you've mentioned the miners' strike of 84-85. Do you really believe it's going to get to that level?
I hope it doesn't, but it is showing signs of getting to the level of the miners' protest. What I am worried about is the wider implications. If policing at the climate camp gets so violent that it antagonises people, I already have Green Party members telling me they are appalled and disgusted. These are ordinary Kent people. They have never seen policing like this. They are appalled and disgusted at the behaviour of our own Kent police. I do not want the relationship between the people of Kent and the police of Kent to break down in the way it did after police aggression against the miners during the miners' strike. I don't want to see that kind of situation arise.
Being criticised left, right and centre, the police could do with something to legitimise their actions on Monday. So what would be better than finding a stash of knives near the camp and claiming, without any evidence, that these originate from activists at the camp who have violent intentions.
Weapons stash near climate camp. BBC, Tuesday, 5th of August. A stash of knives and weapons has been found near the climate camp in Kent, police have said. Officers said the weapons, including a knife and a throwing star, were found in a wooded area on the Hoopen Peninsula on Monday evening. Protesters said the weapons were nothing to do with the camp and accused the police of a smear campaign.
That was an extract from an article published by the BBC early in the morning on Tuesday, the 5th of August. The Press Association, however, took it one step further, taking a claim by the police that the weapons were found near the climate campsite to the weapons were found at the climate campsite. Here is the article.
Weapons found at Eco Camp. Press Association, Tuesday, 5th
August. Police are very, very worried about the intentions of a number of eco-activists after a number of weapons were found at the site of an environmental protest camp, it was revealed. Speaking at a press conference, Assistant Chief Constable Gary Buttridge said that although the majority of protesters who have gathered at the Camp for Climate Action site near Hoo, Kent, were law-abiding, he believed that around 150 of the 1,000 expected to have amassed by the end of the week had more sinister intentions. He made the comments after a number of weapons were seized and arrests were made at the site on Monday night. Standing in front of an assortment of weapons that have been confiscated so far, Mr. Buttridge said, "There is no justification whatsoever for having these weapons. I would suggest that a minority of people had hidden them with the intention of causing harm to police officers and possibly to the horses or dogs that we are using on patrol. And if you look at the equipment we have seized, it is clear to me the plan was to use these items for criminal purposes. We are very, very worried about the intentions of a number of hardcore protesters, which we believe are around 150, who are committed to using criminal means to achieve their aims."
The Press Association's smear does not go by unnoticed, but it is a very worrying development, as they are used as a supposedly reliable news source by media outlets around the world. This article, named "Climate Camp Attacked by Press Association Again," was published on UK in the media the same evening.
On Tuesday, the 5th of August, the Press Association ran an article under the heading "Weapons Found at Eco Camp." It must be more than coincidence that this is the second year running where the Press Association has actively set out to present climate camp protesters in a bad light by running outright lies. Last year, they sent out a release claiming that all the protesters at an action against the Israeli fresh produce importer Carmela Gregsko were drunk. The Sunday Times picked up the lie and ran with it, as did many local papers. The charge was refuted by the activists, and no one was ever charged for the action. This year, the police claimed on their website that they had found a stash of knives and makeshift weapons near climate camp protest site. The Press Association took this one step further by claiming that the weapons were actually found at the site. Whilst it isn't difficult to see why the police would want to link climate camp to the cache of arms found in a wood somewhere on the Hoo Peninsula, it's far more difficult to understand why the Press Association would feel the need to embellish an already incredulous story. Nick Davis in Flat Earth News notes the role of the Press Association in the emergence of journalism, where fewer and fewer journalists are required to produce more and more output, thus becoming heavily reliant on agencies such as Reuters and the Press Association for copy that they repackage in the style of their own papers. It is incidents such as these which makes it look as if he's missed the point. The Press Association is not a benign provider of impartial news, but has its own hidden agendas too. Of course, none of the smearing is new. Last year, the big one was the Evening Standard's front page story, "Militants in Plot to Paralyse Heathrow," with its claim of fake bombs. This story resulted in a stinging rebuke for the paper from the Press Complaints Commission in March 2008. It's a tired old formula, used time and time again by the police to justify their expensive and useless policing, and time after time some august organ from the mainstream media plays the willing flag bearer. Whether the public is as gullible as the police and mainstream journalists like to think is quite a different question. Last night, Meridian reported that because of the weapons found, massive convoys of police were making their way to the site from London and even Wales to be part of an operation estimated to cost £7.5 million. Strangely enough, that's what last year's operation at Heathrow cost, and chances are that this year will be another expensive waste of time with low-level charges, most of which don't lead to convictions, and a whole pile of confiscated crayons, wetsuits, tools, and plumbing pipes. Perhaps the public will pay attention for long enough to realise that the claims never come to anything. In any event, the 1,400 officers were announced well before the lucky find.
Our customers know that they can trust our reputation as a fast, fair and accurate source. The news as it happens, without spin. The Press Association. Yeah, whatever.
Knives, makeshift weapons and bolt cutters, which Kent police say were seized near the so-called Camp for Climate Change outside Kingsdorth Power Station in North Kent, have been put on display today. But protesters who are against plans for a new coal-fired plant being built there claim the weapons don't belong to them and that the police are mounting a smear campaign. Our environment correspondent Mark Norman joins us live from the camp in Hoo. Violent clashes and arrests yesterday, now a war of words, Mark.
Yes, indeed, it's been another niggly day between protesters and police. In the last few minutes, the local MP, Bob Marshall-Andrews, has visited the site. He told us he finds the use of riot police here incomprehensible and that he's never felt less threatened than when he visited the camp behind me. But as you say, the day began with a police press conference where they put on display some knives and some of the material they've confiscated from protesters here. An extraordinary array of items put on display by police who believe they indicate how a hardcore of camp protesters, they put the number at around 150 people, are intent on unlawful action.
You see here what is a very small array of what we've recovered during the course of searches at Climate Camp. The property you see ranges from bolt croppers to knives to fence cutters. We don't want to stop food going into the site. We don't want to stop essential material going into the site. However, we've got to strike a balance with ensuring that material, which you can see arrayed in front of you, doesn't go on there and cause a subsequent problem and end up getting somebody very seriously hurt or worse.
However, the protesters say knives, a throwing star and a chain found in woods nearby last night are not connected to them in any way or the other items that were put on display, all of which, they admit, were confiscated from people at the camp and might be used for direct action protests.
These are woods that are not on this site. They are not anywhere near us, and they claim to have found them. They have made absolutely very clear that they have no evidence to link the fact that those knives were found and the fact that they were in any way from the site. So we are absolutely outraged that they are running with the fact that they are trying to pin this on us. There is no evidence to link the two. This is absolutely an outrageous attempt to have a smear on the Climate Camp, which they've been trying to do from day one.
This was the scene yesterday. Medway residents staying on the site overnight were so upset and annoyed at the police that they now intend to make an official complaint.
We saw some absolutely horrific use of force, an indiscriminate use of pepper spray on people who were just protesting peacefully at what they thought was an unjust action by the vast hordes of riot police that were up at the entrance.
And this is just day two of the protest designed to object to E.ON's plan to build a coal-fired power station at Kingsnorth. There are four more days to come, with a day of direct action planned at the power plant on Saturday.
Big differences between the two sides, Mark. How can they get a relationship back again?
Oh, a difficult one, Jeff, I think, especially with the day of protest coming up on Saturday. People here talk about police harassment and political policing. They say, for example, last night at midnight last night, the police helicopter was hovering over the site for some considerable time. I think their relationship is very tense at the moment and could get worse as we lead up to that day of action on Saturday, Jeff.
Mark, many thanks indeed.
That was the evening news on BBC South East yesterday evening. Even though the police is trying hard to put a spin on the media coverage with stories of intended violence from the camp and such, the media continues to question their tactics, as this piece from Meridian TV shows.
Climate Camp residents say they fear a repeat of the raids we saw by riot police yesterday, but Kent police deny that their actions were heavy-handed.
We believe what we did was appropriate. No confrontation was provoked by the police.
Kent police say they're determined to stop any attempt to close down King's North, which the protesters have vowed to do on Saturday. Well, as far as those scenes of the riot, spoke to the local MP here, that's Bob Marshall Andrews, who came back from holiday in Wales, presumably along with the convoy of police vehicles, to make his point of view. And this is what he told me just a few minutes ago.
This is not a place for riot police. I mean, these people, the nature of the people in there, they do not need control of that kind. And I thought that the scenes with riot police going in spoke for themselves. And I suspect an awful lot of people will feel that.
So will you be following this up? What will you be doing?
Well, I'm going now to see the liaison officer in Medway Police Station, and I hope the Gold Commander who is in charge, and I want very forcibly to get across my image and my feeling about what this camp is at the moment. Now, of course, I'm talking about the camp. I'm not talking about future protests or anything else. I'm talking about this organisation here. And this organisation here, I would have thought sending in riot police is going to make enemies of precisely the people who the police need as their friends.
Right. This is the end of today's media review. A big thanks to Doug for providing us with most of the media coverage and FTP for the in-the-media article recording. Please note that all the reports and articles were edited down. I'll leave you with some stuff from BBC Kent Radio this morning. See you tomorrow for some more media review. Until then, take care and sleep well.
Kent Police's use of force at the climate camp near King's North has been labelled incomprehensible by the local MP. Medway's Bob Marshall Andrews held talks last night with police about his concerns. He's been to the camp and says he's never felt less threatened by the protesters. The Kent Force says it's committed to policing lawful protests and won't hesitate to enforce the law where necessary. So far, there have been around a dozen arrests with various items confiscated. Matt Mason from the camp isn't happy.
Environmentalists, nobody here has any intention or agenda of wanting to harm or even to jeopardise the safety of anybody, the police, the E.ON workers or any of us.